I tell you, I just went to the bathroom. That one thing about these trains and the lavatories, it's a mess. And it stunk in there, okay? It was just awful. There was pee everywhere. What I think needs to be done is we need a Mussolini.
Well, at least you got a lavatory, unlike Ivanka Trump's Secret Service. They didn't even get one.
No, they're paying $3,000 a month.
Actually, we're paying $3,000.
Yeah, actually, we're paying $3,000 a month so that they can have a little studio apartment in the neighbor's house. Now, these are billionaires. Mm. Wait a minute. These are billionaires, and they're renting out a little studio because they can't make the payments on the house? What's going on there? Anyway, okay, so we're on this train, and we're going into 2021. And that must have been somebody in the toilet because it's right next door.
Right. Sounded like an elephant.
Sounded like a bumble.
Couldn't have been a donkey.
We're in the lounge car. It's very quiet here. We're in the bar area. And I'm here with my great love, my little Dr. Susie, and Mariah, and Abraham. And there's about 1,000 people in the audience looking at us. And they're
masked.
All...
Huh? Masked.
Yeah, they're all masked. I think actually one of them is a terrorist. I saw him at the White House. Hi.
Hello, Captain Max.
Hi, Dr. Susie. How you doing?
Welcome to another episode
train.
Of FDR.
Yep.
We're riding that train.
Yeah. Good.
High on life.
Yep.
FDR stands for, of course, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a great president, flawed in some ways, but better than what we've had lately. And it also stands for fuck the rich. Mm. Better than being eaten. We're going to talk more about being eaten later. This is a special edition of FDR, Fuck the Rich.
Right.
Focusing on fascism and fetishes.
And fetishes. eating people.
Well, yeah, we're going to talk about that later. Or should we talk about that first? I mean, we were going to talk about the rape of the Capitol, which involves
fetishes. Right.
Actually, that is the name of a piece that I have in Counterpunch, America's best political newsletter, according to Outback. And it's a sex therapist spin, just in case you don't know. I am a sex therapist. And this is an institute of sex education. And so, you know, I give my sort of sex therapy take on the amosexual poop spewing. Literally, I'm not just talking figuratively here. The rape thing is a metaphor, I admit. That is a metaphor, just like when I wrote a piece called Rape of Iraq back in 2003, which was, of course, a much worse situation and got me into some trouble, which we could talk about later. But the rape of the Capitol, along the same lines, is a metaphor, but not as bad as the rape of Iraq. Only 5 people died, which is bad enough. And yeah, it was an orgy of violence.
A shit show.
And a shit show. The worst kind of orgy. I love orgies. I'm a big orgiast, but not this kind of orgy, folks. Yeah. And yeah, they actually spread poop around, I don't know, with their shoes, I guess. They pooped in the hallway or something. They couldn't get into the bathroom.
Right.
Ivanka Trump wouldn't let them into the bathrooms. So here we go. Poop all over the hallways. And you know, that just... I mean, it's so disgusting.
Choo-choo.
The glass breaking, the people being beaten, police being beaten, and all in this kind of orgiastic manner. with these amosexual proud boys and incels and maggots. A gang rape, really, of the Capitol. Lots of people, like thousands, pushed together, kind of sweaty and close. Nothing against consensual gangbangs. You know, I love consensual gangbangs.
With hairy asses and hairy chins and stunken.
And some women, too. You know, yeah. But a lot of hairy guys.
A lot of hairy guys. Yeah, uh-huh. They had beards.
Nothing against, you know, the natural look. But.
And hair on their ass and the back.
Anyway, this was, I mean, it was the opposite of anything consensual. And it was so bad that the maggots really don't even know what to say about it except to blame Antifa. You know, whatever that is. I mean, it's an idea, anti-fascist. I am an anti-fascist. I've never been out there doing the stuff that we say Antifa does, but it's a way of thinking that you are against fascism that's been in usage since the Nazis, since Weimar Germany, when the Nazis started to rise, and people that were against that called themselves anti-fascists. And you know, so far they have not discovered that any Antifa was really there. But they're trying. They're trying. They keep trying. And besides, reality is not that important to a lot of these people, the QAnoners especially, but it's kind of spreading the whole fantasy. I mean, I'm totally into fantasy as a sex therapist and erotic hypnotist, but... Yeah, you got to live in reality sometimes, I think. But not for these folks. Anyway, they are on a trip. And last week we compared it to Charlie Manson, Trump's effect on the mob. He's like the Charlie Manson of politics. A lot of people responded to that, to me saying that. And I was all excited thinking I'd said something really unique. But then I look around the internet and I see other people are saying it too. Maybe they're all imitating me, but I don't think so. I think they all just thought of it. Just like, you know, because he wasn't there at the scene of the crime, but he incited it. He cheered it on and he was in their hearts and minds and kind of right between their legs in the sense that I think they were all being sexually aroused by the thought of pleasing Trump Daddy. I know, it's kind of disgusting. It is very disgusting, but I think this is a big part of what's going on, and I think we have to analyze the sexual nature of this situation, just like we analyze the economics and the politics and, you know, other stuff. But speaking of Charlie Manson, Max, you had a personal Charlie Manson story.
Oh, Charlie. That's my brother's name also. He wasn't named after Charlie Manson.
No relation.
No relation to Charlie Manson. So many years ago, I used to do an underground, which wasn't so underground because it was on every street corner of Los Angeles. And it was a newspaper called the LA Star. And at a certain point, we were given pictures of the Manson ladies naked. Downright naked. And so we thought that was very cool. We had those pictures and we published them. And then a couple of weeks later, we're answering the phone, and so one of the Manson girls. And they called just to let us know that they were going to kill all of us, including basically the heads of state, which were, at that time was me, Paul Eberle, and Shirley Eberle. And Paul Eberle was there, and we told them there's a Manson, one of the Manson girls is on the phone, and they want to kill us. And Paul got so excited. Wait a minute, he says. Let me get my tape recorder. hold on a second.
True journalist.
True journalist.
And was this before or after they'd committed the murders?
They had committed their murders.
The LaBianca Charente
murders. Right,
and
we were doing a lot of stories on that, on that case. And so he comes and he plugs in the tape recorder and he gets on the phone with his deep voice and he says, "Hi, this is Paul. Are you threatening me?" And she says, "Yes, I'm going to kill you and Shirley and Paul and everybody at the LA Star."
Caught on tape.
Caught on tape. And he says, "I'm sorry, I didn't hear it. Could you repeat that? What are you going to do?" And he had the biggest smile on his face. And so she repeats the whole thing. And he's going, "I got it on tape. I got it on tape. I got it on tape."
All right.
And then the conversation ends. He gets off the phone, calls the FBI.
Okay.
Okay. So now we're all in the news in L.A. Channel 7, Channel 11. The L.A. Star staff threatened with helter-skelter. And Paul was like so excited. He goes, "This is great." And so that was kind of the end of the conversation. And then we were in a building, and I'll make this real quick. Elvis's dentist worked above us, and this is the old Fox Wilshire building at La Cienega and Wilshire Boulevard. And Elvis's doctor worked up there. And of course, we had been in the news. And a couple of days later, we were going to, the dentist was going home. And it was a very small little lobby. And he comes down and had glass doors, and they were locked. And he opens the elevator door. And he looks out there. And he closes the elevator door, runs back up to his office, and calls the Beverly Hills police because the Mansons were outside trying to get in the building, and they were armed and climbing up the fire escapes. Well, we're in Beverly Hills. So within minutes, every police car in Beverly Hills is now surrounding the building, surrounding the people climbing up the stairs, who, by the way, were undercover agents because they had beards and
looked like Manson people.
Yeah, they looked just like Manson people.
So the cops were chasing the cops.
Yeah, so the cops are chasing the cops. So here's the Beverly Hills cops. They have the LAPD surrounded. And the LAPD is raising their, "Police, police, don't shoot, don't shoot."
That should be a scene in a movie.
Actually, Beverly Hills Cops had a variation of it in the movie because it was so hysterical, you know. Anyway, they all surrender, and then they come and arrest us. Anyway, that's my little Manson story.
Wow.
Huh?
Well, that's pretty funny, although sorry that it ended in your arrest, but that's another story to be continued. You have so many. But I did notice something, which is, we talk about the Trump being like Charlie Manson and planting these ideas in people's heads, and then they go off and commit these crimes. But also, you know, the way you talk about the Manson gal saying, you know, "Yes, we're going to murder you. We're coming to kill you." That is similar to the way the Trumpers kind of admit that they want to overthrow the government, that they want to kill officials, that they want to hang Mike Pence. They admit it, you know, and therefore they are being dragged in and caught and in all different ways all over the country. It's kind of weird for me. I'm not used to seeing the government chasing down people I don't agree with.
Well, you know,
usually they're chasing down people like you or me.
Yeah.
Or, you know, people that are fighting for justice.
They chased me for a long time. They were chasing me and chasing me. L.A. spent millions trying to shut my mouth.
But now they're chasing down these Capitol rioters.
Right.
The rapists of the Capitol, And yeah, Harris gave me something about women are using popular dating app Bumble, which we list in our dating and sex and the corona apocalypse article.
Bumble.
Yes, Bumble's a popular one.
What is going
And so they're capturing evidence of Capitol rioters by saying that they're conservative and they're looking for, you know, a Capitol rioter to date. And then they send the info to the FBI. Now, this kind of informing I'm not usually in favor of, but, you know, these are fascist white supremacists for the most part.
Yeah, these are Nazis. Let's just make this clear. These are Nazis that are trying to overturn and assaulting my rights. Okay? I take this very personally. These are my rights. Okay? And so I take it very personally. There was a guy today who came to the perimeter of the security zone. And, of course, they stopped him. And he said, well, I have an invitation. And they looked at the invitation. The invitation was fake. Fake invitation, right?
Uh-huh. To so, the Capitol or to the White House?
To the inauguration.
Oh, to the inauguration.
Yeah, so he says, I'm here for the inauguration. Here's my thing. And right away, the cop said, well, no, this is not.
there's going to be a lot of that.
A valid. So they search him, of course, because now they're suspicious. And they search him. And, of course, he's armed. And he has 500 rounds of ammunition.
And he was just going to the inauguration party.
Right. And they said, excuse me, why do you, what is, what,
just like 1776.
Right. Yeah. Just like, why do you have, oh, he says, oh gosh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bring this with me.
I meant to bring it to the other party.
Right. And they arrested him.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, you guys, be careful with this that ammo, you ammo sexuals.
Yeah, this was in D.C.
They can't leave their ammo alone. It's too important to them.
You know the guy with the horns? He's married.
Jake Angeli.
Yeah, Angeli.
Angeli?
Angeli.
Yeah, he's a QAnon shaman.
Yeah, he's also...
Again, perverting a word I kind of like, the word shaman, which is like a magician in, you know, Native American cultures. That's how I always understood the word, and now it's being used by QAnon. They've taken it over.
Yeah, and you know...
Like they took over the word freedom.
Yeah, and he eats health food.
Organic food.
Organic food.
Yeah, he's on a hunger strike.
Okay,
right now.
So was Hitler.
I think Hitler was a vegetarian.
Yeah,
actually.
Well, yeah.
Anyway, sure. Just because you're vegetarian or you're into organic food doesn't mean you're a nice person. So the MAGAs are crying out because they're being busted, and there's lots of like... videos to excite the liberals about where you watch them getting caught. And some of them are crying, you know, like the crying Nazi from years back.
These people remind me of the tough guys in prison. Like, hey, man. And then they run away, you know.
And now they're crying,
now
pardon
they're crying.
Me.
I was,
pardon me.
I was just following orders.
Daddy.
The president told me to come here to the White House.
Daddy told me to do it.
Yeah.
Daddy would spank me.
And
if
I got a hard on.
If I didn't rape the Capitol.
And my pussy got wet. And we all marched. And we marched and we pooped and we broke windows. And we had just such a good time.
Didn't you like it, Daddy Trump? We know you were watching on TV.
Yeah, you lousy little miserable.
It's a sickness. It's a sickness.
Yeah.
And yeah, we make fun here on FDR, but we also would like to help you people if you want the help. Most of you don't at this stage. You're still caught up.
Yeah.
But if you want help, we're here for you.
Yeah, but don't worry about it, because once we pick you up, we're going to send you to some training centers.
We're not. We're not. We're just a therapy institute.
We're going to rewire your brain.
That's what they're afraid of.
What you have of it, if you have one. So, certainly, if you went down there because this idiot in the White House told you to come down there, and then he doesn't even show up.
Okay. Yeah, don't you feel abandoned by daddy? This is a daddy, he's an absentee daddy.
Right.
Right, you know, I mean, he says, I'll be there with you. And then he's
And then
watching.
All the other co-conspirators were sitting in a tent.
That was before. They were getting themselves excited listening to
Gloria.
They were
dancing. Gloria, what was it?
Gloria.
What was Gloria doing?
Gloria was in trouble. I know it's a song. It's a good song from the 80s, and it's not very positive, even though it's got this great beat.
Right, right.
It's like Gloria is definitely at the end of her rope.
Ah.
Yeah, she's burning the candle at both ends and about to, you know, rape the Capitol and get caught. She can't help it. I mean, just like the maggots, they had to film themselves. Otherwise, what good is it? They want to show themselves raping the Capitol. It's like they're not satisfied just doing it. They have to selfie themselves
all over the place. Look at me.
Exactly. All of them. They all had to do that.
Yeah.
And, I mean, a few of them are on other people's cameras, but most of them brought their own cameras.
In the meantime, the White House is set up with cameras and triangulation of every phone in there and every movement.
You get to see so many angles on this disgusting orgy of violence. It's riot porn is what it is. I mean, they were talking about the Black Lives Matter protests as being, they use that term riot porn. And I don't know if that really applies. Definitely this is being jacked off to and jilled off to by daddy Trump loving maggots out there, the couch potato ones. And also the ones that were there that haven't been arrested yet are just so getting off on their rape of the Capitol that was broadcast everywhere and is still being broadcast
worldwide.
Every different angle of it. So it's disgusting. But in any case, they're asking for Daddy Trump to pardon them, and they think that he will. I don't know if he will.
Because they were following orders.
Well, they were.
They were following orders.
Well, they were doing
frankly.
That, too. With
he
the poop and everything.
Else, I mean.
Follow the smell of the poop into the Capitol.
It's not a far stretch to ask. He'll do it.
So they're asking for pardons. And
and also to fly again, because they're on the no-fly list.
They're on the no-fly list.
No-fly list.
They got it. Hey, you guys, take the train.
Listen to that.
Take the train.
Yeah.
I saw there was a Texas person who took a private jet.
She wants a pardon. Really? Yeah, the
she
realtor.
She wants a pardon.
She does a little advertisement in the middle of it. She's selfieing herself all the way through, walking through the streets, selfieing. We're going into the Capitol. And by the way, if you want real estate in Texas, you know who to call. And I'm not giving out her name, partly because I don't remember it. And also, I do not want to promote her. I don't know. Trump might give her a pardon. She's blonde.
Yeah.
Can I give a plea for Trump? Trump, listen, Trumpus, daddy, listen to me. I know you and I don't agree on just about anything. Although I do appreciate that you haven't started any new wars. I always appreciate something about everyone. I'm bonobo. I follow the bonobo way. And I would greatly appreciate it if in your last couple days, pardon Julian Assange. Okay? It would get you a lot of credit. I mean, this is one thing I agree with Tucker Carlson about. If you pardon Julian Assange, you will be striking a blow against the deep state, if you will. And you will be doing something good. I mean, we just gave Julian Assange the Susie Award for most bonobo journalist because he is a journalist. He is not a criminal. And he is dying right now in Belmarsh Prison. And listen, Donnie, I know you need a dominatrix to change your diaper. Your maggots call you Daddy Trump, but you're much more of a big baby than a daddy. But Pamela Pamela Anderson. She's trying to appeal to you. And you know she's hot. You know she's just your type. She's a former Playboy playmate. More than that, Baywatch, everything. Pamela Anderson. Come on, Daddy Trump, you big baby Donnie. Just pardon Julian Assange. And even though I'll have 1,000 terrible things to say about you all, I will have that one good thing. And I will really appreciate that one good thing.
Okay. Which is something I appreciate about you, Dr. Susie, because there are a lot of people who are one-sided and blame the left or the right for being too one-sided.
Well, what I can't stand is seeing, you know, Pamela Anderson put out this plea to Trump to pardon Assange. And then I see leftists saying, oh, well, you shouldn't do that. Trump, he's evil. Don't ask Trump. Are you a Trumper? No, she's not a Trumper. Come on. She's trying to get a pardon. She's appealing to his prurient interest. And, you know, frankly, so am I. So I guess I feel that it's that important. WikiLeaks is not left or right. It's about exposing the sins of government, of war, mostly war. And that's very important for us to do. And he's a truth teller. He's not a hacker. He's a journalist. And many other publications have used the WikiLeaks work. And so, you know, it's very hypocritical of them not to insist that Julian Assange be freed. So moving right along, we're talking about fascism and fetish. And today is, by the way, International Fetish Day, which I'm excited about. My friend from ASECT, Russell Stambaugh, let me know that. He wrote a great piece about it. But in terms of this fascism thing, I mean, he obviously lost, Trump lost this coup attempt, if that's what it was. Did he think he was going to win? I mean, a lot of people are asking that. I know he's very blinded by his extreme narcissism. But something must have let him know he wouldn't succeed in this. But yet, I think his goal was achieved, which is to just mess up his followers and their perception of reality even further. It's already pretty messed up. But, you know, when he says things like, the best is yet to come, which of course Kimberly screamed to high heavens and was funny and crazy. But what do they mean by that? And why do they use a word that is associated with orgasm? Come. Well,
come.
It's very ominous.
Messy to come.
And it's a little bit like
you always have to
how it was in Weimar, right. Germany.
Yeah. It was exactly.
You know, so exactly. we certainly have to watch out for this. There's a definite movement going on, and Trump is their leader, but it could get another leader, and so we have to be kind of vigilant. You know, there's no sense of shared reality anymore, and that is what makes our subject, fascism and fetish, kind of overlap, is that fascism is all about creating a reality. In the case of Germany, there was this reality created that Germany was like a superior nation, superior to all the other nations, and that Germany hadn't really lost World War I. Now, I do think that the Allies mistreated Germany in the Treaty of Versailles, and that is one of the reasons Germany was abused in their loss, and that is one of the reasons this abused child grew up to just murder their whole family of nations. They lost eventually, but you know they did a lot of damage, and it was based on this fantasy. And right now we are facing a similar fantasy. And as someone that kind of specializes as a sex therapist in helping people to handle their fantasies, mostly sexual fantasies, but there's a lot of crossover between sex and the rest of life. So, you know, fantasies do cross over. You know, some of it is sex and some of it is, you know, sort of social. And it's a dangerous thing we're going through. I mean, in a way, did we ever have a shared reality?
Well, I mean, the whole thing has been a lie from, you know, because everybody lies. And it's one thing to lie. It's another thing to do lots of harm with those lies. I mean, if somebody comes and asks you if there's a Jew in the basement, you have to lie, right?
That's a good lie.
That's a good lie.
I used that example when I won that contest of America's Greatest Thinker back in the 20th century. Yeah, yeah. There is such a thing as a good lie. When you're lying for the sake of
The benefit
helping
and
someone.
And helping someone.
That needs help.
Yeah. Mom, I hate your fucking cooking.
Now, of course, all these Trumpers think they're lying for the sake of someone who needs help, which would be Daddy Trump.
Another one that's really great is everybody has the most beautiful, the most intelligent, and the cutest baby in the world.
Well, we have the cutest dog, Chico.
Yeah, we have the cutest dog of any dog.
Yeah,
it is true. I mean, I'm sorry. That is not a fantasy. Yeah. You can look at the pictures and video. But, yeah, I mean, there's that idea that whatever is yours is best. And people are succumb to that. And, you know, I mean, I remember growing up as a little Jewish girl and, you know, singing these Christmas carols and thinking, why am I singing that this little baby is God? And okay, I guess I got to do this, you know, and I got to like pretend I'm part of this shared fantasy that these my fellow classmates are saying is reality. And yet I also felt that my Jewish colleagues, my fellow students, they also succumbed to this fantasy that the world was created in 7 days and you know, lots of crazy stuff in our world religions. All of them have crazy stuff. So what makes QAnon different? What, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's our current threat that is facing us. And I guess it's also, for me, partly because I thought we were kind of progressing. And in a way we are. There's a lot less religious people nowadays. But maybe religion is something that people kind of, I wouldn't say need, but really want. And so now, you know, you have your QAnon shaman. And it seems to be hurting people even more than mainstream religions, although they are a Christian nation. They're crusaders.
This guy is married to a doctor, and he's a stay-at-home dad.
That's another guy.
Yeah, no, the
that's not the shaman.
No, it's not the shaman?
No.
Which one is it?
That's, I think, the one that was sitting. I think that's the one that was carrying Nancy Pelosi's lectern.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, that grinned a lot, and he had a beard, and he just looked like a clown, you know. Joker. These are jokers, all these guys. I mean, the Joker movie was very ominous. I remember seeing it, I thought, oh, this is a work of genius, but I don't know, this is a kind of portending something like this. And in a way, these were all a bunch of jokers.
What kind of doctor is he married to?
A witch doctor? I mean, I don't know.
I mean, really.
One of the kind that do bloodletting?
Honey, I don't think you should go to Washington because we have 5 children and this very nice house here. And if you go there, you could get in trouble. Oh. Hello.
Well, maybe his wife. I mean, like, I am in.
You could lose your job.
A little bit of shock looking at the timelines of people that I've thought are my friends.
Right.
And some clients. I, of course, wouldn't name any of them. And some, just all kinds of people that are definitely favoring the Trump movement. And who maybe, I don't know, they show Trump with Jesus behind him. They say that Antifa was doing this. They come up with all these crazy things, in my opinion, crazy. But I love these people. I can't deny that. And I care about them. And I hope there is a bonobo way for us to find...
You love what people?
Harmony. I love everyone, I have to say.
I hate Stephen Miller.
Well,
I hate him. I don't like him.
Actually, I'm interested in why we haven't heard from him lately. I think maybe he's cringing over this.
I'm sure he's cringing.
Maybe he is. He just had a baby. Maybe he's thinking, wow, I don't know. So I'm looking now at Jux Lee is writing. And our Facebook, I guess, is working tonight. I think he feels that it's still success, even if he had to cheat. Every lawsuit, death, and violation is just a play along the way to a win. So, yeah, I do think the win here is the hearts and minds of these people that are either going to give him comfort on the golf course or in prison. I don't know. Somehow this comforts him and could harm the rest of us. Will harm the rest of us. Yes,
you know,
Jux Lee, a great photographer whose work is often seen on drsusanblock.com. And I like his finger floggers.
And I'm going to light a joint.
Okay. So while you're doing that, I just want to thank my editor, publisher at Counterpunch, Jeffrey Sinclair, for posting a Ben Shapiro face wrapped into Cardi B's WAP, wet ass pussy. Of course, the way Ben Shapiro says it, it's wet ass P word.
Wet ass P word.
I never can understand why it's not wet A word P word. Wet A word P word. If you're going to say
is the A word vulgar. Is the A word worse
why,
than the P word?
I don't get
is
that
ass
at
more,
all.
More vulgar than
according to Ben
less
Shapiro,
vulgar than pussy.
Ass is less vulgar than pussy, which says something about Ben. I think Ben.
He likes booty.
Yeah, and he's afraid of pussy. I think he really is. He in fact did say, and we brought this up on the Dr. Susan Block show, that there must be something wrong with Cardi B and her posse there for their pussies or p words being so wet. And that was when Merrick DeVille and I said, you know, have you ever heard of squirting? No. Well, apparently somebody did a very clever Ben Shapiro face wrapped into Cardi B's WAP video. And so Jeffrey posted it with a trigger warning, quote, caution, you may need to consult our own Dr. Susie for therapy after watching this.
Wait, so it's a face wrap, you said?
Like, yeah, it's a very well done.
Like,
so you hear his voice, you see his face, and you see Cardi B's body.
Yeah, they call it deep fakes nowadays.
Yeah, yeah, that's what it is, and they do a good job of it. It's very eerie and unsettling for some people, which is why Jeffrey said, you may need to consult our own Dr. Susie for therapy after watching this, and all I have to say is, thanks for the referral, Jeff.
Right, and I mean, she's been Saddam's therapist.
Oh, that's right. I've been a lot of people's therapists. That's what some guy from the Wall Street Journal called me, Saddam's therapist. Because I said that the U.S. invasion of Iraq was a rape. I was being metaphorical. But some people thought I was being literal.
It wasn't consensual.
Well, of course not. And the fact was there were American soldiers raping Iraqi women.
Of course, every war.
But I wasn't talking about that. I was talking about just the invasion being like a rape. A rape is an invasion, an assault. So thank you, Counterpunch. Thank you, Jeff. And it is a mutual admiration society because we just bestowed the Susie Award 2020 for Sexiest Journalism on Counterpunch, and not just because they run my stuff, but because fearless muckraking is sexy. And there's many great writers. Joshua Frank, by the way, Joshua Frank also used the Charlie Manson metaphor I saw after I'd already done mine, but maybe, I don't know. He thinks I stole it from him. I think he stole it from, no. Anyway, we're all thinking along the same lines. Charlie Manson, Jim Jones, this guy is a cult leader.
And you know what happens to all these, you know what happened, poor Mussolini, he was hung upside down at a gas station along with his...
It's gas a mystery. Station.
Yeah, at a gas station from the sign.
That's wild.
Yeah, along with his mistress and several of his close advisors.
I noticed that when they hung the mistress upside down, they tied her skirt around her knees to be proper about it.
To be proper.
She's hung dead, but they tied her skirt.
You can't see the
P word. You don't want to see the P word there. Probably somebody very much like Ben Shapiro tied that skirt up
just
before hanging.
No, her. No, non fare così, eh? No, per favore, no. È la figa, se no si vede la figa, no?
Right, there you go. You know what they were saying.
I know.
I love it when you speak Italian. So sexy.
That's okay.
Yeah, even when you talk about hanging people. So before we get into talking about the other F word, actually we got three F words. We got fascism, fetishes, and fuck.
Fuck.
To Rich. Okay, so before we do that, I want to give a shout out to Robbie Martin. I just did a fantastic interview. I think it's fantastic. I don't know. I was talking. So
it's fantastic.
He interviewed me.
Robbie, it's fantastic, right?
And it was lots of fun. We talked about the rape of the Capitol. We talked about cuckolds in and out of government, cucking and calling, you know, shame and cuckolding. We talked about homosexual incels and QAnon fantasy role players and Trump daddy worship, as well as the war on sex, which comes at us from both sides, from the religious right primarily, but also from the woke left that wants to try to, you know, infringe, censor. And so we talked about sex workers and erotic freedom of speech. We talked about Max Hardcore and Cecilia. We talked about post-Trump sex disorder, all kinds of stuff. His marvelous sexy sister, Abby Martin.
Okay,
and we,
Abby,
talked about the bonobo way of female empowerment, male well-being, and peace through pleasure. In all kinds of weather.
You know, that reminds me about Abby because I was talking to someone about Abby. So I'm probably the worst father that has ever lived in the history.
Well, I know. I think Trump might be.
Of humankind.
Especially if you consider he's daddy to all these
if you're
know,
a
crazy
father
maggots.
In any sense, that's not true.
So, for the first time,
you're pretty good. You didn't beat your kids.
I didn't beat them. No. I took it a little bit when I grew up. I took it from the blue bloods who never saw their children. Why would you want to see your fucking children? So they were brought downstairs when the parents were in town, like in my family.
Yeah,
they were brought downstairs and
give you a kiss.
The parents would go, "Hey, how are you doing? Hey, give me a kiss. I'll give you a kiss. Good night."
About and, 10 minutes.
Right. And they would be sent back to their room.
There is a school of thought that,
like that
says
sound
that's
of,
okay.
Like know. The Sound of Music scene.
You know, and I kind of grew up sort of with the same thing because my parents always traveled. And so I had like an Anna and Miguel who took care of me. Aww. And my little brother. And I must say, and I'll go on to something else real quick. I must say that I have no conflict with my parents.
Well, you hardly knew them. So,
right.
Yeah. What's there to conflict about? Yeah, the nuclear family causes a lot of conflict.
Nuclear family is
very,
like
very tight.
Terrorist organization.
Claustrophobic.
They are after you. And then they hate you, and then they love you, and then you're about to die, and they want your silverware and your art. Okay, so for the first time in I don't know how long, 26 years actually, I talked to my granddaughter. I've never met her.
Oh, yeah, and you had a good conversation.
Yeah, and she says, "Wow, Abby Martin, I love her."
Oh, well, we have the same taste, all right?
See, all right.
That's from not knowing each other hardly throughout our lives.
That's right.
No, but yeah, I mean, that's
we
awesome.
We may come from different pussies, but we have common
come from different pussies.
Well, I would come from the same words.
Yeah, right. Well, right. No, of course not. Well, you didn't come from the same one I did either. But thank goodness we're not doing that. That's a little too close for a family. But in any case,
but I just thought I thought that was great.
We're going to meet her soon.
I love Abby. She's hot. Excuse me.
Abby's been on our show. We know she's hot.
Yeah, she's.
I'm not afraid to
and
say
she's really
hot.
Smart.
She's brilliant.
She's brilliant.
Beyond
she's brilliant.
Smart. She is brilliant.
Yeah.
Charismatic. Part of her charisma.
Loser
is her
hates her.
Loser hates her?
Yeah.
Loser got along great with her when she was on our show. He picked her up.
Because,
he took her here.
Yeah, because, you know,
what,
Loser.
Did he try to come on to her and she rejected him?
Who knows?
Yeah. Well, Loser's a winner of Funniest Fundamentalist Refugee right. Susie Award, but, you know. He doesn't win everything.
Loser, if you're listening.
We love you.
We love you. We're talking about you. Okay. Hope your hemorrhoids are okay now. Yeah, you've been driving a lot across country.
Whoa, that'll hurt. So is the media fake?
Is the media fake? Well,
the mainstream media is a little bit fake because it is rich people being paid by richer people to tell middle class people to blame poor people for
that's
their
correct.
Problems.
Right.
And that's essentially
correct.
What it comes down to. And to that we say, fuck the rich. Some might say eat the rich, but I'm more of a sex maniac than a foodie. And you know, fucking at least leaves your rich person alive. Hopefully
right.
it would be consensual and nice.
Right.
Eating the person would, they'd be eaten. That, and we're going to talk about eating people.
Okay.
Are we
good,
ready
good.
To do that yet?
Oh, sure,
okay.
sure. Yeah,
because
you know,
it is well, International it's Fetish Day.
Eating people is good.
And
yeah.
that...
raw.
yeah. Not. My ASEC colleague, Russell Stambaugh, let me know, and he is sort of an expert on fetishes and the history of... kink and fetishes. A celebrity has recently been outed as an alleged cannibalism fetishist.
Oh.
Speaking of eating the rich, you know. And I would never out anyone. I mean, certainly never a client, but
right.
no one that I might hear about. But, you know, everyone is talking about this, so I thought that we would join the conversation. So, and he's got a famous name, Armie Hammer, which is the cute way of saying Armin Hammer.
Right.
Of the, Armin
Hammer
family. He was an oil tycoon,
right.
big shot. He actually didn't start the Arm and Hammer baking soda toothpaste company, but because they started before him, but he did invest in it. I guess
yeah, he bought it.
He bought part of it.
Bought
I don't
it,
think
right.
he was allowed to buy the whole thing.
No.
Anyway, Armie Hammer is you know he was brought up in this very wealthy family and he decided he wanted to be an actor and he had to kind of work hard at it. It didn't come easily to him, but he became a kind of quasi famous actor. And he was in Call Me By Your Name, which is, I didn't see the whole thing, but it looked like one of these kind of good European movies set in Italy with a lot of Italian and seemed very realistic. And I like those movies better than superhero movies. So, but sort of like a gay coming of age movie. And he was in The Social Network about Facebook.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
I didn't see that movie either.
You didn't? I thought you saw it with me.
Did I see that?
You might have.
I don't think
we watched that together in bed,
really?
As a matter of fact.
In bed. That's why I don't remember.
Know, was, we had sex afterwards, not to say that that was an aphrodisiac.
You were looking at her P word.
I think it was just because we were feeling each other up. Yeah. So anyway, so he was in that. I think he played a rich guy in that. He looks like a rich guy. He's tall. He's
kind of
good looking.
Yeah, kind of.
Not as good looking
as
you, honey.
He's a little sleazy looking.
Well, now you think that, but he doesn't. He looks like a patrician.
Yeah, patrician.
Well, I don't know. It's hard to say what he looks like because we know so much about him. But he's definitely.
Oh, you know, I'm thinking of the Rothschild kid that just died.
Oh.
Who heads up all the Rothschild banks nowadays. Okay. He looks like a bum off the street.
Oh, okay. No, yeah. This is...
That's not him,
no,
right?
This guy's
right.
Very groomed. Occasionally, he lets his 5 o'clock shadow show.
Oh, yeah. That's yeah. Very sexy. Ooh. Yes, sir.
So, recently, his fetish came out. And it's not just a simple fetish, like a foot fetish or, a boob fetish or a boot fetish or something. It's a cannibalism fetish.
Cannibalism, yes,
in fact, in one of the
I read about that
texts,
somewhere.
He says he is a cannibal, 100% a cannibal. He allegedly describes. I say alleged. I don't know if I even have to say that, but I will. It came out. He shared some messages on his Instagram account with House of Effie, and allegedly asked this woman if he could, quote, cut off one of your toes and keep it with me in my pocket so I always have a piece of you in my possession. And he said he's 100% cannibal, and maybe it's just her fantasy, as we know. However, his ex, Courtney Vuskovich, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that right, said he wanted to, quote, barbecue and eat me. Okay. So there's a couple of women saying he's into this. And he himself responded by saying, I'm not responding to these bullshit claims. That already doesn't sound too sure of himself. Not responding.
Yeah.
Okay. Why don't you just say, no, I didn't do this?
During that interview.
So in other words, it sounds like he did do this.
Yeah.
He wrote these things. And he says, in light of the vicious and spurious online attacks against me, I cannot in good conscience now leave my children for 4 months to shoot a film in the Dominican Republic. And so he's staying in the Cayman Islands where his two kids are living with his ex, and he's been fighting for joint custody. So he doesn't really have custody of the kids, but it sounds, you know, everybody always mentions their kids when they're in trouble.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's the key. And it does work sometimes.
Kids.
I got kids. You can't hurt me. Please.
Don't hurt
please.
The kids. Whatever you do, don't hurt those kids.
Now, those kids are not any more hurt than ever, but I guess. I don't know. But they're with the wife. But in any case, I have mixed feelings about Army. I do sympathize.
But he's dead now, right?
No, he's not dead.
Oh, he's not dead. What
you're
happened to him?
You're thinking of the Rothschild.
Oh, the Rothschild is dead.
I don't know who's dead or alive now. Not going to respond to the bullshit claims. No, he's okay. In text messages,
says he's
a cannibal.
Got it. This is a fetish.
I just want to say it is.
Does he like a kind of
popular fetish? Not an extremely popular fetish, but somewhat.
Does he like grown cows or calves?
I saw him kissing a foot in that movie, Call Me By Your Name, and yeah. I think he was working his way up to a meatier section. But in any case, I don't really know. He seems to have a bit of a foot fetish, to be into the toes and the feet. But yeah, you know,
I kind of am too. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Cute little toes. And
he likes skin
on teeth.
They're
all naked and they're all in, they live in the same shoe. Five girls.
Yeah, you have a bit of a foot fetish.
Oh, I love feet.
But you don't
want to
eat
them. Well, I love certain
them.
Feet.
Right. Okay. Well, okay. Well, I'm sure he has his preferences too.
It's not that I like every foot.
Not every foot. Not those maggot feet tracking
like
their
warm,
way through
warm
the shit.
Feet, right?
Huh?
Warm feet.
Yeah.
That still have
cute,
blood in them,
little,
right?
Cute little feet.
Also living. Yes. Yeah. Abe was just wondering if you wanted to cut
living.
Any of your favorite feet.
Oh, no,
feet.
No, no,
you
no.
You like living feet.
No, yeah. No. You wouldn't want to do that.
And you do more rubbing, which I really like, than sucking and biting and that kind of thing.
Yes, if you'd like to have your toes rubbed.
He's great. He's actually the best. I recommend
I'm
him.
Available.
Yeah, he's really good. But
and Harry can also give you a massage.
He can give you the full body. He's obviously into all different body parts.
This is a self-contained
But you guys are not into eating of these body parts, I'm assuming.
No.
But there are people that are.
Unless Henry Miller gave a great recipe when he cooked little babies in axle grease.
Yeah.
Apparently,
well,
they're supposed to be really good.
I think that was a metaphor.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. I hope so.
You know, and the funny thing is, I don't know if it's funny, but a lot of cannibal fetishists, they do know the difference between reality and fantasy. The ones that I counsel, and I do counsel quite a few. I'm, as a sex therapist, I talk to quite a few cannibalism fetishists, and both ways, the ones that want to eat and be eaten. And they're not Jeffrey Dahmers. They don't want to actually do it. They don't want to kill anybody. And they're not Hannibal Lecters. And they're not even that Armin Meis, the guy in Germany that actually got permission to do it.
Oh, he put an ad in the papers.
Yeah, he put an ad and somebody answered and said, yeah, I want you to eat me. And he ate the person. And he killed him. And the police are like, well, you're a murderer. He goes, No, I'm not.
And
he got a little bit of a lenient sentence, I think.
Yeah,
but anyway, they don't even want to do that. They kind of, one of them wants the so-called victim of his cannibalism to actually offer herself up and not to die, but to, it's a total fantasy. It's like a comic book thing. Now, I acknowledge there are some that really want to do this. It's, of course, not a good thing to do. It's a terrible thing to do. But to have the fantasy is not necessarily a sign that you are a criminal of any sort. It's just you have this fantasy, this fetish, this interest. You like talking about it. You like role-playing it, you know. And keep in mind that some people like to, you know, combine food and sex. They will spray whipped cream or honey or chocolate on a body part. And after all, what do we call going down on a woman? We call it eating pussy. P word, I mean. Or eating A word. You know, that it, we call it eating. It is eating. There's a licking thing involved.
There's licking.
Licking, sucking, a little sucking. Biting. There could be all these things. It's just a little bit farther along. But that little bit makes a big difference. You know, how hard do you bite? And so, you know, it's a very touchy subject. And yet I also want to say that in a way, evolutionarily speaking, sex stems from eating. Because when we were all just cells, the meiotic level, we were just cells and single cells. And one cell would eat another cell in order to survive because there was nothing else on earth that was alive but cells. And then eventually the cells realized that their eating of each other was more fun if they just merged, and that became sex. Does that make sense? So the act of eating became the act of sex. But at first they were the same thing.
Eat my sausage?
Something like that, yeah. Or eat my pussy.
Or eat your pussy.
Eat my chorizo.
Yeah. Eat my tamale, baby.
All right.
I want to eat your big cannoli.
Eat my
tortellini tonight, too.
Wiener. Happy Wiener Day.
By the way, in the dining car tonight, we have, what do we have? We have bacon fried tortellinis, okay? And then we have Colombian Coke. Not Coke, Colombian.
Oh, empanadas.
Ah, empanadas. Empanadas.
And
tonight?
No people. We're not serving.
Right,
any
no.
People
we're not serving.
Body parts.
We're not. No, right.
Although you could imagine that your hot dog is a big dick.
These are animals. We're just, you know.
But, you know, we do eat animals.
Of course.
I mean, and we are animals. Yeah. So we're not so superior.
The reason for that is because animals eat us.
Well, they do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the end, when it's all said and done, some fuckers, you know. And right
I think
now,
the key to being civilized is like bonobos. You don't eat your own species. You don't eat your fellow bonobos. You don't even kill your fellow bonobos.
Right.
And so we humans, even if we, I want to eat you up. There's nothing wrong with that, but don't kill, don't eat for real. And I think Army, you know, who's kind of sexy, I have to say. He's pushing the envelope, at least from what we see, you know, in the gossipy papers.
Why don't you call him, Mariah?
And
get a hold of his organization and say, we'd like to talk to you about this. We're actually specialists in cannibalism. And
we will lend a sympathetic ear. Right. Because from what I understand, he's never done this. Okay, no one has accused him.
Not.
Well, you know, there are Jeffrey Dahmers in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's not that.
No.
And I think...
Well, we don't actually know.
Well,
it could be that in a few years from now we find out the guy ate five people.
Body parts laying in his refrigerator. Oh, my goddess. Okay, I hope he's not really doing this.
No.
We haven't heard that he's doing
really
this.
Really, call him and actually record him or them. And just call him. We'd like to talk about with him about his cannibalism fantasies. You know, where, you know, that's what we do. That'll get them all riled.
You know, we are specialists in helping people with this and helping people to enjoy this. And it's not easy to enjoy this safely and thoroughly, but it's possible. And, you know, it's like it's never going to be perfect. You're not going to get... And life is never perfect for anybody. But I know these fetishists, they're so frustrated by the fact they can't fully fulfill their fetish. But let's just say nobody can fully fulfill their ultimate fantasy. But you can have a good time. Yeah, so we're here to help you with that. And yeah, Army, I just want to say, if you're listening, from what I've heard, you're not a bad person. But I think you are scaring these women. And I think you might get off on scaring them. And that is something to watch out for. Because I've had clients that do get off on scaring women. And I've helped them to kind of moderate that.
Let me ask you.
And the reason they get off on scaring women, it's usually men, but it could be a woman that gets off on scaring a guy. The reason comes down to they're scared. They're scared. They're scared of themselves and their feelings. And if they can talk about these feelings, if they can acknowledge them and find ways to, if not live them perfectly, then imperfectly, then they're not so scared and they don't feel the need to scare someone so much. And I found that that has worked with a few of my clients. And so I think it could work with you, Army. I also do understand your polyamorous tendencies. And he was quoted in Playboy saying, I like the grabbing of the neck and the hair and all that. All right, that's not about polyamory. That's just about being a dominant
king. You can do that,
but a
too.
Lot of people like to have that done, and that's all fine.
Yeah.
Then here's where it gets a little dicey. He says, but then you get married.
Who gets married?
And your sexual appetites change. When people feel shame, they often don't say, I got married and my sexual appetites change. What they do is subconsciously they turn it around. They say, you get married, so it's not me. That's a little grammatical thing. But people do that. I always think it's funny. But yeah, he says, you get married and your sexual appetites change. I respect you. And then he says, I respect you too much to do these things that I kind of want to do. Well, Army, I hate to say this, but that is real dangerous to marriage and to your relationships. And yeah, I think you need to talk to somebody, probably a therapist, but somebody, maybe just yourself, do a little meditation. But that is, you know, you're going to go from person to person, and you can do that for a while, but then you want love.
Mm-hmm.
And you also want to play out your kinks. And there are ways to play out your kinks. polyamorously, but still keep that one person in your life, and you can do it all consensually with mustard. No. I mean, you know, I like my sausage spicy. How about you? No, I mean, you can have fun with it. That's what I'm saying. You know, one of the things is people get so serious about this stuff. But, yeah, I mean, some people lose their heart on or
some
whatever.
Some therapists wear white coats to keep it all clean.
But another thing, Army, it's a thrill, but it's a risk. And you have to ask yourself, Army, see, I'm giving you free therapy now. And
yeah, right.
Anyone who's listening and shares, you don't have to be accountable. All you just have to do is be just a human texting a stranger about your most private thoughts that you don't want anyone to know. And you're texting. Okay. What are you doing? Well, this is kind of similar, tying together our theme of fascism and fetishes, to the maggots walking into the Capitol and breaking windows and beating police and then filming themselves. And now they're crying. Well, and Army, you're crying too, aren't you? And I'm not saying you're a maggot. I don't actually think you are. I think we might agree about some politics there.
He's a cannibal.
Well, that's not all.
Oh, no,
that he says he's a cannibal in the text.
Yeah, that's
he
good.
He says he's 100% cannibal.
You know.
But listen, you've also got a little bit of a risk fetish here.
Right.
You like to push that envelope of your whole life, of your career. I think you'll probably be able to make a comeback, so to speak, spelled C-U-M. With whipped cream. But I think, you know, you've kind of fucked up, and it's because you have an addiction to risk. Well, not addiction, but a passion for risk.
Who turned him in?
The girl that he was writing to, the lady.
Oh.
She turned him in to begin with, and then the ex chimed in to say, this is true.
Yeah.
This is true. This happened. He did this with me.
Yeah. Did she have all her toes?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Did.
He
okay.
has not actually committed these things, which is why I'm giving him the total benefit of the doubt. He could be definitely one of these kinksters that is, not really doing something that is bad, dangerous, violent, damaging, non-consensual.
Right, right.
But he is talking about these things, and talk is not cheap. And Mariah, but it's not.
Make
it's
sure
not the
we
same
call
as
him,
cutting toes.
Because we'd like to have him on the air.
Yeah. You already said that.
Well, I'm going to say it again. And if you're listening...
Can you say it again? Because we know Army is listening. Army, this is for you, honey. He is cute. But, I mean, I'm... Well, I'm just saying.
I like a lot of my clients. Don't be saying that too much.
I break that boundary. I tell my clients when I think they're hot. So if I haven't told you yet, I don't know.
If you don't hear from her.
You're fucked.
Yeah. So, you know, the risk thing, that's very dangerous. That even if you don't do this at all, the fact that you talk about it in this society, yeah, you know, it's something a lot of wealthy people do because they don't know what it's like to be that scared. He wants to feel the fear, too. He wants to put the fear in the woman. It's, I guess, women, although in the movie he looks very gay, but maybe he's just a good actor. But in any case, he's probably bisexual like most people. But who knows? I don't know. But so far, women have responded about this. And he seems to like to put fear into them. And maybe he also likes to put fear into himself. He must. He doesn't seem like an idiot. He knows that texts are forever and that people will find them eventually, especially because he leaves
but
women
when
like
you,
a real
when,
Lothario. He goes,
when you
okay,
get to
goodbye,
sex.
I'm bored with you now and I can't treat you like a slut, so I'm on to the next one. So when you do that, hey, you know, you can do that. It's not the worst thing in the world. You're not a rapist, you know, but bad behavior has repercussions.
Mm. Can I ask you a question?
No.
Like, just for the people, the people that like feet or toes.
I love people that like feet and toes. Okay. I love you. I love foot fetishes.
And now we're married and finally came out that I really love your toes.
Actually came out way before that.
Right. That's how I got into the other part.
Right.
By getting to the feet
actually,
first.
Actually, I think it That's came right. before
first you do
a
the
lot of other parts. Certainly before the P word, the F word, we had did that. Yeah. The feet are a definite diplomats that, you know, they're like ambassadors to the Capitol dome, the P word, the puss.
I agree.
The right? The vagina.
The vagina, ah.
The V word.
The inside. And then there's the outside, the vulva.
That was like...
which is the part that has the most of the P word pleasure.
That was like Peyton Place in the 50s.
That's another P word there, yeah. Peyton Place.
Oh, that book was banned.
P word is already kind of sexy.
And it was on. It was all about page, I forget, it was 36, I think, where the line goes...
Eat my P word.
No, he said...
V of her crotch.
He touched the V of her crotch.
Right. Yes. I think letters can be very sexy. In fact, I am getting turned on just thinking about it. Not in Ben Shapiro's voice, of course, but just saying P word. Eat my P word. I like it. Yeah. Eat it, baby. But, you know, somebody on Twitter said, see, Armie Hammer is a good example of why we have to eat the rich before they eat us.
That's not nice.
Well, just saying. I mean, and it. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. No. I don't know what the economics.
No, but
but
you're absolutely right, because the rich are behind of the police lines and the police beatings. They're behind because they are protecting their 12 houses that they have with the swimming pools and the Ferraris. That's all cool, man. But you got to share. Because otherwise, as FDR said, they're going to come and get you at your doorsteps.
And that is why we say fuck the rich. Right. That is why this show is called FDR. And it's because fucking is all about sharing.
And learn some manners and pay some tribute for your sins. Because you have sinned.
The bonobo apes are the make love not war chimpanzee. They swing through the trees as well as with each other, Army. They are swingers. They don't just have one partner. And they do a little BDSM. They sometimes hold each other down. They slap each other around. They pull each other's hair. And they do all kinds of stuff like that. They do. They spank each other in a way by, you know, or you could call it ass slapping. And sometimes they look like they're going to eat each other. They, especially on the toes. You right at the zoo, with the way they will gnaw on each other's toes and fingers. And they love it. But they don't actually eat them.
No.
Right.
It's kind of. You have to cook them first.
And they never kill each
because
other.
Because when they're raw, it's like it's kind of bloody and stuff.
Anyway, so, they know where to draw the line, I guess.
So, okay, but I forgot to ask you the question that I was trying to ask you before. As a foot lover or a cannibal, on what date do I tell the woman that I'm a cannibal?
Well, if you're tuned in live, Valentine's Day is coming.
You want to what?
The key, if... you want to do that is you want to give her a great massage with some really tasty lubricant. Coconut oil is nice, but you might have another favorite flavor. And you just want to rub those feet and really learn how to give a good foot massage. Don't mess it up, man. That's important. Yeah, that is of key importance.
Very important.
Because
very
a
important.
Lot of guys who are into foot fetish, whether they're cannibals or not, if they're into the sucking, they kind of think of the hand stuff as irrelevant. it is extremely relevant. And you have to be in tune with a woman's reactions. Some like it hard, some like it hot, some like it soft, and some are very ticklish. And, you know, there's different kinds. Some don't want the oil. They want...
How about the shrimp between the toes?
Okay, so once you get...
With the lime and the...
This is like a full course meal,
yeah,
okay?
Right.
Speaking
no,
of
absolutely.
Food.
No, absolutely. This is
this
what you
is
can do
absolutely
with your own feet.
The foot meal is you... And actually, we did a video of this.
Right,
you
right.
Start with the massage, because if you just stick a foot directly into your mouth, it is shocking.
To say
I
the
have
least.
Had men do that.
I'll take your word for
Max
it.
Max is my husband of 28 years because he
I
did
have,
not
well,
do that.
No, I have not done that.
No.
Ever.
I had a guy do that at a swimming pool, and it was horrifying. I kicked him in the face. It was self-defense. Nice guy. He's a friend, but I'm not going to name his name. But yeah, wrong thing to do. You don't just stick those toes in your mouth, hungry as you might be, you cannibals.
His name was Frank Sprigg.
No. I wouldn't tell you.
No, that, I'm just
no.
joking, Frank
I
Sprigg.
I don't broadcast anybody's
you.
Privacy unless they're
Tony.
Already in the news.
Right.
It was Tony.
But
Tony.
I'm bummed.
Tony.
Abe.
Tony. What are you doing, Tony?
Ratso Futso. Okay, so Tony, here's what you do, Army. You got to learn to give a good foot massage. You got to talk about how beautiful her feet are.
Right.
And if you don't feel they're beautiful,
yeah,
you
right.
don't deserve
right.
to
yeah.
have them. So you got to talk about how beautiful they are.
Yeah.
If you don't feel they're beautiful but they have potential, maybe you need to give
Not
her a pedicure.
Once. You have to be very
Oh, yeah.
You got to
do this a few times.
Oh.
And some of you are in a hurry.
Leodori. Good. Yeah.
If you're really good looking, you could maybe do it all in one day. But I don't know. It's usually best to take a few dates to do this. And eventually, you know, you start kissing, kind of like Army did with that guy in Call Me By Your Name. You start kissing the foot, and you kind of bring it to your mouth like that. Like, it's not really a kiss. It's more of a...
That reminds me of an old studio that we used to work in on the 11th floor.
Yes.
We had a little studio, didn't we?
And you seduced me feet first.
Right, and we started feet first. It was all very nice. It was cool. Everything was cool.
Actually, we did hands first.
Yeah,
I will
we did
say
hands
that because we were very business-like, but our hands were next to each other.
Right.
And we did a little hand dance.
Right.
But
right.
it quickly went to the feet because the hands are nice, but the feet.
Right.
More, you know, all those pressure points, all those sensuous spots are very, very compelling.
And I was so fucked up and so drunk most of the time.
Really?
And
I had no idea.
Yeah. And, yeah.
No, I was just
but
drunk
feet,
on
it
you.
It was the feet. It was
the feet.
The feet.
I thought you were drunk on my feet. What
well,
the,
that too.
Well, anyway. You did a good job of massaging them.
Right.
And
that
then eventually...
got me up to the knee.
Yeah, that did.
And the back of the leg.
Then
and
what?
So on and so forth. I mean, it took about 6 months of that.
Yeah,
actually,
yeah.
We took our time,
and we made out. And I want to tell you a secret.
We did a lot of kissing.
I don't tell anyone. Her first orgasm with me was when she masturbated on my head.
Back of his head,
what?
The neck.
The back
I was sitting,
of his head.
No, this is a good move, girls.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I have to.
You
hear
get
this.
The guy on the couch. You can do this with your clothes on.
Right.
It really works, but you got to be really turned on. I guess you could do it with a vibrator, but that might really hurt the back of his head. So never mind.
Don't
okay.
do that.
So you got to sit there behind his head, and he's got to be very patient, and you got to rub and put your legs over his shoulders
right.
and keep rubbing against the back of his head and hold his head in place lightly, not too hard, unless you're Dom, and then you can come just like that. That was the first way I had an orgasm with Captain Max.
Wow. That is
and hopefully
scary.
That gives
I said,
you a
this is
unique,
it.
Eargasm
unique.
Right
we are
now.
On our way.
I love that story, actually.
Yeah. Eargasm Radio.
Yeah.
FDR. Buck DeRich. Because they taste so good.
This show, if you're rich, not like rich, like $2 million or any of that kind of stuff. But I mean, really rich.
I would go for the $2 million ones.
Well, okay, if you could spare some, we need some money.
They could at least, the $2 million ones, get some sex therapy.
Right.
You know, I'll give you something for your donation there. I mean, it's not like I'm trying to stiff you, so to speak, except I'm trying to stiffen you if you need that.
Yeah.
And anyway.
What a commercial. That was very good. I like that.
626-461-5950. We never gave out the phone number, which is why we haven't had any phone calls.
Right.
But we needed to really say a lot of things ourselves. Right. And we did.
We did.
And and we're winding towards the end of the show. And I'm looking at Jux Lee. Yeah, yeah.
Just a few more minutes.
Stephen Miller is the biggest pause. How do you pronounce that? Pause? Pause? Piece of shit on the planet.
Merda.
Right. Cannibelli will be back this year. Okay. I'm glad I saw that one, Jux, because that is a good advertisement. And we miss you, Jux Lee. And yes, I need more Cannibelli because smoking is bad for my lungs and makes me sound like I have COVID, though I don't. And I just want to say, wow. We're still in this, folks. The people are dying, and we have to hold a place in our heart for our fellow humans that are dying. And the gorillas in the San Diego Zoo now have COVID. And I'm so scared. I love gorillas, and I don't want any of them to die. And I'm very much afraid they're somehow going to give it to the bonobos at the San Diego Zoo.
And wait till your dog gets it.
And I look at Chico all the time and wonder who he's been touching. And it's a scary time. It's a scary time. So we need to hold each other in ways that we can't anymore. I mean, we can't get into these cuddle puddles. We can't get into these orgies if we're responsible. Of course, if you're a Trumper, hey, you know, have an orgy of violence. Yeah. No, I'm not recommending it, but obviously you guys are into it. And you're also into just general gatherings of maskless people and whatever. So, you know, I'm staying home. I'm trying to stay safe. I recommend that you do too.
Right.
I also recommend that you explore the erotic theater of the mind, that you try to meet someone that maybe you can. There are ways in dating to find someone. I wouldn't recommend you saying that you want to eat their toes before you've met. Could be something you want to say when you've already been together, after you've massaged that foot, and then you start to kiss it, and then you can start to suck on those toes. And then you could say, mmm, delicious. Mmm, yummy, yummy, yummy. And then you could put shrimp between them like you did,
and tequila
Captain
toe,
Max.
And tequila
and
toe.
And do tequila toe shots. We did tequila toe shots where you pour salt on the foot and you lick up the salt off the foot. It and then you take a shot of tequila and then you suck those toes and you're a cannibal, baby.
Woo! It ain't the Joe Rogan experience.
He doesn't give you a way to eat toes. See, we do. We give you a way to be a cannibal without hurting anyone. Tequila toe shots are great. And shrimping shots. And, you know, that shrimping thing. That's not a drunk thing unless you also throw some tequila on the shrimp.
The answer to your sex life is right below your nose.
The answer to your sex life
starts right under
acknowledging
what
your sexuality, acknowledging your sexuality.
And have fun.
And then find ways to have fun. And also be responsible. You know? You could be a daddy or a mommy. Yeah. Or I'm speaking in a sexual way, not the actual, you know, parent. Of biological children. I am speaking of, you can be anything. You can be a murderer in fantasy. You can strangle somebody in fantasy. Don't really strangle somebody. And if you're into strangling, well, first of all, my advice is don't do it. because it's very risky.
Don't be strangling nobody, okay? And if you're going to do
it, you better take a course in it.
Yeah.
I know people that love it. Anyway, there are many dangerous fantasies, like cannibalism, like strangling, like, and there are ways to enjoy them safely. It's a, it's an art form. It's like being a stunt performer in a movie. Yeah, it's an art form, and it's dangerous. You better learn how to do it properly. And still, there could be an accident. So you need therapy when it comes to sex about this stuff, because it's so tied up, so to speak, with your perception of who you are as a human being and your relationship to society, unlike being a stunt performer where you're, hey, I'm a stunt performer, aren't I cool? Well, when you're a fetishist, you're, you know, concerned, so to speak. So anyway, yeah, I am not Susan Allen Block. I just want to say in
closing,
I'm
not either.
Thank God.
She is a crazed, raging, raving maggot. I got right some great winger, support right from winger. My friend Gerald.
Publishes The Blaze. If you read The Blaze.
Yes.
You know, you're,
Toledo
you're
Blaze,
fucked up, man.
And Pittsburgh something or other yeah. that is really messed up. And anyway, I am not her. I am Susan Marilyn Block, named after the actress.
Goodbye.
I have to go.
We have
it's
to
been
go.
FDR.
Choo-choo train. Choo-choo
fuck
train.
Fuck you, rich. We could eat you, but we'd rather just fuck you nicely and politely and with pleasure. Peace through pleasure, the bonobo way. This is Dr. Susan Block, Captain Max,
bye.
Unseen Abe and Mariah, hey. And
from our cardboard box to your mansion.
Other bonobo sapiens.
We love you.
Yes.
And take care.
From
be
our
safe.
Dining car, actually.
Oh yeah, here. We're actually in a dining car,
kitchen.
Which yeah. is all fake news. The whole thing's fake. We're not in the dining car. We're not on the train.
We're at the bar, actually.
We're at the bar.
We're at
a real bar. We're going to publish some pictures of
I'm
it.
I'm having a drink now.
Yep. And,
you might have noticed when the change.
Take care. Good night.
We love you.
Need to talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves. But my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you, no fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Suzy One on the World Wide Web.